It's Thursday, the 9th of April, day 19. It's been a pretty sobering day. Listening to BBC Radio 4 in the morning, one could hear the stirrings of an approaching political crisis. The current question is, when will this national lockdown be relaxed? And how will that decision be made? The government minister, who's allotted a task for this morning, was to be tortured on the Today programme, wouldn't give an answer to the question. Probably because there isn't yet one. All he could do was to reiterate that the current regulations definitely won't be relaxed over the forthcoming Easter weekend. But a decision will have to be made fairly soon, because the current arrangements can't be kept going indefinitely without a threat to the state, the economy and society, not to mention the mental health of millions of citizens for whom this temporary incarceration will become unbearable, if it hasn't already. One only has to look at the surge of domestic abuse cases to realise the terrible toll that this is taking. And the impending decision will be a terrible one to have to make, because it will involve striking a balance between fighting the pandemic and trying to restart the economy, while, to put it bluntly, minimising the inevitable death toll. There's no good way out of this. It's all about choosing lesser evils. One thing is clear, though. We can't just blow a whistle and say, right, we've slowed the beast down, now get back to work. That would be tantamount to going back to what was briefly the policy of the UK government, to let the virus do its worst so that the population would acquire that magical property of herd immunity. You call it a strategy of lightly controlled infection. I read a sobering paper today by a couple of German scientists from the University of the Bundeswehr in Munich, in which they discussed this option. One of the misconceptions about the virus, they say, is that the only group at risk of death are elderly people with pre-existing health conditions. Not true, they say. Even young people die significantly more frequently from COVID-19 than from normal flu. And even if people contract the illness and recover from it, there are suspicions already that it can have long-term health consequences for some, because a serious infection can cause the immune system to redirect its responses more towards viruses and reduce its capability to protect against other diseases. But it was their discussion of the risks of the herd immunity strategy that was most striking. In Germany at the moment, it seems that about one infected patient in 100 dies from COVID-19. That's a 1% mortality rate. So, the researchers ask, is this risk worth running in order to get the economy back on track? They then start putting it into context. In 2018, for example, the risk of dying in a plane crash was 1 in 7.7 million. So, the German mortality rate means that a COVID-19 infection is 77,000 more dangerous than travelling on Ryanair. So this is a very risky option. What other comparators are there? Well, during the moon mission, a risk of 1 in 100 was accepted by NASA. Those who flew in the space shuttle were exposed to a risk of 1 in 67, the same as the figure for Allied soldiers in the Iraq War in 2003. So, the authors conclude, dying from a COVID-19 infection comes very close to the risks of manned spaceflight and war missions, and very few people take such deadly risks in full consciousness and without restraint. They're right. But I wonder if the citizens of democracies currently assailed by the virus will appreciate the risks involved in easing the restrictions that are currently in place. We know from bitter experience that public perception of risk is abysmal and erratic. But if popular pressure for a release from increasingly claustrophobic confinement starts to rise, fueled, no doubt, by conspiracy theories on social media and the fake assurances of populist demagogues, then you can imagine scenarios in which democratic governments find it hard to hold firm. In which case, it'll be like watching a horror film in which frantic prisoners break out of prison and race headlong towards a precipice. There is, though, a way of avoiding such a catastrophe. It involves, firstly, a dramatic ramping up of production of N95 respiratory masks, the only ones that seemingly can protect against droplet-borne COVID-19 infection. And secondly, it means a regime of fierce community and legal pressure to always wear a mask in public until a vaccine eventually arrives. Live free or die is the motto of the state of New Hampshire, adopted from a slogan first uttered by General John Stark, a veteran of the American Revolutionary War. As we face up to the war of the coronavirus, maybe a proper slogan would be, wear a mask and live.